call the Tacoma Pool Metropolitan Park District Monday, August 12th meeting to order. First order of business is the mission and vision. Oh, I'm sorry, I called the order at 6 o'clock. TPMPD mission statement: to provide a welcoming public aquatics facility managed in a fiscally responsible manner with a focus on educating all ages in the lifelong skills of water safety. We carry out this mission with a board and staff who are compassionate, inclusive, and responsive to the needs of our diverse community, working to foster positive and lifelong experiences with aquatic environments. TPMPD vision statement: contributing to the quality of life for our community and for future generations through welcoming, fun, safe, and positive aquatic experiences at the Tacoma Pool. And I ask you to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Okay, next order of business is to approve the agenda.
Roll call.
Oh, I'm sorry. Roll call. Excuse me. Commissioner Zapadil?
Present.
Commissioner Gengler?
Present.
Commissioner Shipman?
Present.
Commissioner Frangelo Anderson? Present. Along with our Director of Aquatic Operations, Brad, and District Administrator, thank you, Christine, and our guests, Andrew. And his son.
Madam President.
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion to excuse Commissioner Newfer.
Commissioner Zappel seconds.
Any discussion?
I hope she's enjoying Spain.
I know, right?
Is she in Spain?
All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay. Pass. Thank you. Now I move on to approving the agenda. Take a motion for that.
Commissioner Zappel moves to approve the agenda as presented.
Commissioner Shipman seconds.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of approving the agenda, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Approved. Moving on to business or item recognition of employee of the month. Pass this over to Director of Aquatic Operations, Brad.
Grace.
Grace.
Grace is awesome. Grace comes to us recently, actually. She just got hired on just before the summer, but then went back home to Hawaii. Started with us officially in July. And as a swim instructor and lifeguard, she's been phenomenal. She had a little bit of a rocky start. But man, she took feedback well and essentially just skyrocketed from there. Parents love her class. Probably one of the best instructors over Memorial parents have said they've seen in a long time.
Nice.
So they were happy and going from afternoon lessons to morning lessons and participating in Grace's lessons. They are thrilled to have her as an instructor. So Grace has just been great. Unfortunately, Grace will she found a job that closely aligns with what she has been pursuing as a career in emergency management, based type services.
Nice.
So she accepted a position and is currently starting their training process. So she'll stay on as a sub until she tells me otherwise. But man, happy to have her all summer. She's been phenomenal for us.
Fantastic. Yeah. Is there a card?
Yeah, Brad, could you send
forgot.
Out or just when let us know and we can come in when you've got a card and we can all come in and just sign it.
Great.
Don't want to wait for another month if she's going, especially.
Yeah, that would
be no, we,
yeah.
Yeah. Great.
We could say we would have given you this card had you stayed.
Yeah, but when we got that news we decided not to. Great, thank you. Yep, congratulations to Grace. I'm glad to see her pursuing her career, but sorry to hear her leaving. Moving on to number 4, citizens' comments.
Nice.
Yeah, we got some nice feedback and
yeah.
suggestions.
I know, that was nice.
Pleased to see us. Are these the only 2 weeks had since you came?
I check it every month.
It's kind of cool that they all came together.
That's not
the actual comments, not just someone testing a pen.
Just yes, Tyler.
And that doesn't match Jacob's handwriting, does it, by any chance?
The second comment with Nisha, that was really great to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes.
I emailed the customer as well, just to, again, thank you for the feedback, but also,
that's helpful feedback.
And they left their email?
Or on the other side, they would have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Thank you. I don't think no other comments since he went to the back. So moving on to item number 5, the consent agenda. Take a motion to approve the minutes of the Tukwila Pool Metropolitan Park District July 8th regular meeting.
Commissioner Gengler, I make a motion that we approve the minutes from the July 8th meeting. As presented.
Commissioner Shipman seconds.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes of the July 8th regular meeting, say aye.
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 I abstain. So I wasn't here.
Oh.
I guess I abstain too, then. Commissioner's out. But then that's only two. I'm going to just say aye.
Okay.
We've got three.
Yeah, because we need to have three.
Here.
Oh.
But I'll say aye.
Okay.
Okay.
So you got that, Christine?
Three ayes.
Did you not
yes.
say aye?
I did say aye.
Aaron wasn't here either.
Aaron wasn't
oh,
here.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so that's minutes are approved. Now looking for a motion to approve the vouchers.
Commissioner Zaplan makes a motion to approve the vouchers.
Commissioner Schmidt seconds.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of approving the vouchers, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Anybody opposed? No. All right. Passed. Okay. Now we move on to reports. The first on the item is 6A, 607, commissioner's reports. I will start to my right, Commissioner Shipman.
I attended TPAC and the July event of Carboro Boat Races, which was pretty awesome. And I hope that maybe next year we can keep working on the idea of doing the unlimited version to get the maybe city police, fire department, city council, mayor's office maybe involved with it too. And whoever else wants to work the donation to the scholarship program maybe.
That's awesome.
And then TPAC, and then we went to the Scene in the Park sprinkler event, which was a lot of fun, and so got a lot of information. I think the best was that the majority of everybody at least knew that there was a pool in town.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
There was only a few that didn't.
That's excellent news. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That was awesome, thank you. Commissioner Zapata.
Yeah, I saw Commissioner Zapata. I attended TPAC. I wasn't here in July, so I just listed it in June, and the June rodeo event, which was really fun. I attended the City of Tukwila's Hoot Nanny, the City of Park at Hazelnut Park with Di Myers on June 26th to promote pool. Low attendance, but able to contact a couple dozen community members. We gave Brad a summary. We attended the summer cleanup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Many, there is a bunch of positive comments through Facebook, and I'm sure people mentioned it when they came in. It was a lot of great work there. The place looks nice. Attended the City of Tukwila Sprinklers events as well. Gave the feedback to Brad and Di with Jerry and Erin and Bailey and Alex were all there. It was a really popular event, so it was worthwhile. There's probably 500 people there with all the families. And primary interest was lessons and special events is what I saw. But yeah, it was good. And attended the June and July finance meetings, which are always fun. End of my report. They are.
They are.
Commissioner Gengler.
I attended the cardboard boat race, and I was able to procure. One of the teams was very well organized and had actually made a model of their cardboard boat, and I was able to procure that from the father, so we will be able to use it as an example for next year.
It's not gonna end up like our artist.
I hope not. We had made another one, but that ended up being trash. But I don't know. Do you know? You know the father and son I'm talking about. How did they do on the cardboard boat race?
Oh, he killed
them. Oh, yeah. In fact, he went back and forth twice.
He was the one who
They never sank. He ended up picking it up.
We ended up taking the whole. He took the whole boat home.
Okay.
I love it. That's so cool.
Well, he also brought a suitcase of duct tape because the child gets duct tape for.
His birthday.
Yeah, Vanessa, you would not have been happy with the
I was going to say, did you...
Everyone's supposed to get it to be equal.
Oh, please. You were sending your kids up every 5 minutes. We need more duct tape. I think that there's a lot of opportunity with the cardboard boat race.
I'm so pleased that it was successful and everyone had fun.
I believe that's, there were a couple of wrinkles. There was some music that was a little questionable.
So on that note, actually, Justin and I had a chat about music, and I said I could bring my iPod, or Alex's iPod, that's got the circus music loaded, if that would be helpful to him. And he said, yes, please. So, while he still figures out how to...
sync a Bluetooth?
Sync a Bluetooth, too, because all the music is on a laptop. Or on CDs, so... Anyway, for the circus event,
I still have that whole recording.
You have a CD too.
Yes, I still have it.
You just play it all the time.
I do not.
And speaking of which, Christine, I'm working on the flyer. I'll get you a copy of the flyer ASAP. Actually, the regular one, not the school one, is done, so I can send that.
I don't think we're going to be able to pass that school one,
For the next event.
For the next event.
Yeah, you should be able to.
It'll be September.
When does school start?
4th.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Another quick comment about the sprinkler event also is that a lot of people that I was handing the event stuff to did say that they were receiving those at home from the schools.
Oh, good.
Oh,
that's good feedback.
Wow.
So I was kind of like, oh, that's good. We were always wondering if they make it on.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Yes. That was the end of my report.
Oh, thank you very much, Madam President.
That was a good report. Very collaborative report.
I attended TPAC July 13th. Also attended the cardboard boat races, and it was fun as usual. We had a nice turnout with the fire department.
I have lots of pictures of Jerry with the fire department.
But there was discussion about trying to get with the city council and the mayor for
police
next year, and the fire department versus the police department. I did send off a thank you to both firehouses with their medals and pictures. Yeah. So they had them.
Nice.
But it was a really fun event. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. Also attended the finance committee. Fun.
She's just saying
enthusiasm.
Also did the done in a day, and actually, since I'm not a gardener, I actually did get out and pull weeds, and it was a beautiful day. It was nice, and I was commenting to Vanessa earlier that whatever you guys did at the shrubs, something makes the pool stand out more when you go down 144th or come up 144th. So whatever you guys did on that one side, it seems to trim down those trees. You can see the building much better.
Oh, yeah.
So that was really awesome. So that was a really good, fun event. Also attended CUN the sprinklers. Just for the record, I don't like the format of going up and being intrusive to people. But I was
very... You did a great job.
Oh, thank you, yes. But I was very pleasantly surprised that everybody there that I did speak to had been at the pool, or their kids had taken lessons, or they knew had been to a special... I mean, that part of it was very... That's like a first I've ever been anywhere where they knew there was the Tuckwilla pool. So it was very positive. It was very positive.
I found the residents definitely knew there was a pool. The people from Renton's up, not so much.
Not so much, but they were very interested in learning more.
Yes, absolutely.
Also attended leadership on the 30th of July, and that is the end of my report. Thank you. Okay. We will now go to 6B, Director of Aquatics Operations Report, 6:15.
What's going on? Nothing much, just a few things. Hopefully, operating budget by this committee. Always exciting.
You guys need a dictionary.
Another word for fun.
Some of our time is our Aquatic Teen Pool resurfacing project. That we'll get to later. We had a great in-service with our lifeguards. They're slowly starting to really adopt what it means to be in their role as opposed to just a high school job. So we had a really great in-service. The best part, I will share, Lauren put a We had some props with us.
She told us about it at water aerobics too. Go ahead.
It was hysterical, and no one thought it was real. She's such a great little actor. We put pea soup in a little Ziploc bag, and then she had to turn around and act like she was throwing up and then choking, and it was a mess.
Oh.
But none of the staff thought it was real. They were all just sitting there talking, and Austin, who was lifeguarding, actually turned around and thought it was real. And Justin thought it was real. That's how good she was, because they weren't expecting any type of prop or projectile or anything. But it helps put it into perspective. It helps give them a realistic view on what to expect in an emergency, but also use the tools that they have available to them. So in-service was a lot of fun. It's a great way to get the staff more engaged as opposed to listening to us over and over and over with nothing else that engages them. So
I love on the bills that it was very specific. Christine detailed exactly what it was for, just
yes.
In case we had a question.
Amy.
Or was it Amy?
Did you get the turkey on the receipt as well?
Yeah, turkey, yes. It was clear. I was very clear on what it was.
So in-service was a lot of fun. Payroll time and attendance. Conference calling with our new account rep. Yay! Our current account rep, our past account rep, got a promotion. I'm going to stay above the line
poor
there.
People.
And so we have a new account rep who we'll work with to get accruals figured out. They will pretty much go through the spreadsheet, fix yada yada yada, and hopefully it's consistent moving forward. So we'll have a healthy conversation this week. Programs, budget, swim lessons, pretty much, let's see here, $1,170 difference in terms of a variance. That's a 7% decrease.
Greg, I just had Commissioner Zappelberg. I just had a question on that one. I see there's a reduction in dollars, but the participants are up.
Exactly.
Is that because of Red Cross reimbursement not coming through yet?
Yes.
Yeah,
so
to
the
okay.
So when we get the check, that's when it's going to be reported as revenue, and also it wouldn't go under the swim lesson line, it'd go under the grant line.
Okay.
So and last year in July is when we stopped the Kaiser grant. We had stopped it in June because we were saving for junior guard, which ended up then being canceled. So we restarted in October the Kaiser grant. So in July of last year, there was only Tupelo resident scholarship, but this year we have the ARC scholarship going. So that would be.
But that's what makes sense. Why participation
is billed out for July about $1,274 to American Red Cross.
Okay,
great.
So that 1170, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Slightly more participants.
And then the year-to-date actuals, just so you guys are aware, when I run the numbers from year-to-date, we run them kind of early before I actually send in my report. So where we're currently at tracking for August lessons, we're doing better than 155 participants because I ran that report on July 30th at 7:34, recently. So swim lessons are moving along, they're filling. We are on our last, I'm trying to work on my schedule again. We're winding down our last summer session. Our morning sessions will end, maybe the first or second week of September, and then we're back to our traditional just afternoon lessons. So that is winding down a little bit. Community Circus at the Pool is right around the corner, August 17th, in Wilmington 3. The boat races were awesome. I still can't believe the fire department sank before they even got to move. So that was still bad. I figured they would have been better at boat building. Shag Senior Housing, I have a meeting with them tomorrow afternoon on their program committee meets. So I'll be meeting with those folks just to kind of get an idea of what they're looking for, how do we get them in the pool more regularly, how do we program for them as well, especially for the water aerobics space. Programs on Fridays as well as Tuesday and Thursdays.
Commissioner Gengler, there's a program committee meeting tomorrow?
No.
Programming meeting for...
We'll attend the program committee meeting for SHAG.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
SHAG,
got it. Thank you. Thanks for that clarification.
You see SHAG at the beginning?
Yeah, I got
just
it.
Just check. I'll be there.
Although August is usually, the A is capitalized. FYI. You're going to diss me.
What else can we have going on? Your free passes redeemed report is here.
Interesting.
6 game free passes.
That's for the year. July, and then it'll be monthly.
So is the aerobic passes front desk, are those the ones, do we know if those are, any of those include, so March SHAG and June SHAG are the SHAG ones, so aerobic passes are ones
the
front desk?
They handed out front desk, it was if you come in and say you saw something in the quarter,
you get passes.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So very cool.
Oh, nice.
At front desk.
Wow.
Six people, that's awesome.
Read the recorder.
I didn't know about that.
It's no longer at this.
It didn't, that would be.
Yeah, yes. No, I'm happy.
We're all sad. It's free advertising.
Mm-hmm. Power outages went well. Make a quick little addition to the power outages this week. Both were successful, both were well. Systems are back up and running. The pool is in really, really good shape when it comes to our systems downstairs. So if we ever have a power surge or power outage, there's nothing that I'm usually concerned about. So things went very, very smooth.
So, Brad, is it a requirement to have someone on site when the power comes back on? Because it seemed like in the past, every time we had a power outage, when the power came on and no one was there, there were all kinds of
issues.
So my philosophy, and that's why we stay, the way I manage power outages, as long as we're aware they're happening, I like my staff on site for any and all issues that just arise if anything does. Mm-hmm. So I was there on Tuesday for the entire day until the power came back on just before 4. We got the pool systems back up and running before 5. And then I took off after 5. And then on Saturday, because it was a half day, I made sure that the morning's revenue-based programs completed. Then the second half of the day required an off-stand facility. Because there's enough light, there's still work that can be done. As long as they're not in dark areas where they don't have the ability to see. So their job is to deep clean, scrub. Locker rooms were a great point for them to go focus on throughout the lifeguard shifts. Plus, it guarantees the lifeguards don't lose those hours as well. So in Austin, completed the getting the systems back up online. I want to say 4-5.
Wait, they were working pool or how?
Front half.
Like the HVAC.
What
about
the HVAC?
It might
have
to work.
But everything shuts down. System 1.
But
I
so.
That box.
So I guess what I mean, like you have no reservations if this winter the power goes out overnight, no one's there.
Well,
no
I think
that
the difference was is that they turned the power back on and Brad was there to turn the power back on in hours.
Right. So my question
versus we had multiple hours of equipment turning back on and trying to start up without somebody turning on the rest of the equipment.
No, I understand that, but I was getting at, do you have any reservations on a regular power outage that there would be issues?
No, I hope not. And I don't know what winter's going to look like this
right.
year. But leading up to winter, I think we're in really good shape. The biggest thing with the power, as long as folks shut, even if the power goes off, it's still a good idea to go down and shut some of the breakers down so when the power does come back on, you know, it's there. There's not that surge. There's not issues that are panels. So everything, again, was shut down ahead of time because we're aware. But in the event the power does go out, if we're there, great. If we're not there, I would hope our alarm system, our alarm company would call us because they would give us a trouble alarm.
Right. We might want to make a note and make sure that that's, because that's not an automatic thing. You have to request that as an SCW or like a work order.
Power goes out, there's like an AC trouble or something.
Yeah, usually it's a 30-minute delay typically just so you don't get called on every little deal. But you want to check and make sure they call you because it's not necessarily standard protocol.
Because that would be great.
Yes.
So we're not in the facility. Mm-hmm. got that phone call and we made our way to the facility to double check our systems.
Correct.
But yeah, Seattle City Life was a little inconvenient, but again,
it's all
necessary. So I think we're 100% done.
Great. Is that the end of your report? No, I just didn't want to cut you off.
I had a couple, we could go back to the Somerset part for a couple seconds.
Mm, sure.
So on the actuals that you had, for like the, you said you're like roughly at 64% at the 273, and you're still waiting for the 105. So was that finish being filled, like for this last lesson thing? Then is that for like the session?
You're done with 64%.
Right.
No. 64% of where we are, one of the American Act report said July 30th. So at this point, I have not run the numbers because sessions are pretty much good to go and 100%. So I'll get actuals.
Because I was kind of like, I mean, like, I guess my concern is like, and like, this is a little bit just from experience on it, where, you know, like, you know, we tried signing Bailey back up for lessons like the day before lessons were even over, and we didn't have space to be able to do lessons. And so, like, I'm wondering how many people also did that same situation and then just didn't do lessons for this session, where, you know, we had been able to compensate for having more classes if we had enough people that were, I mean, like, how many people were we turning away, I guess?
You guys tried to sign up for lessons when?
The day before lessons ended.
And what was the problem?
We were not able to, they were full.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So, I mean, I kind of see that as being an issue, like, how do you sit in a 2-week thing and know whether or not your child's going to be able to start, you know, Sharks 2 or Sharks 3 in the next session, without beforehand. And like, I'm just saying, like, how many, like, if we're one, you know, family that did that with one child, how many other families did the same thing and didn't re-enlist for this next session?
Right now, in the current model and how lessons are running, they have a week. So they typically get their report cards, I believe, the last week. So the instructors will do report cards, and there's 1 week left of lessons, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, or Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. That week they can register, parents can. And so the problem is if they're going to the next level and everything's already pre-planned out based on the amount of instructors we have and the time slots, yeah, things can fill very, very quickly. And right now, the things that are filling the most are going to be the, what level, for example, is Bailey?
I think like Sharks 3, I think. Or Sharks 3.
So classes with more participants in July, for example, Minnow 3, Shark 1, Adult Precomp Parent Top. Compared to 2018, Minnow 1 and 2, Shark 3, and Super Sharks were the most popular in July. So as kids are progressing, essentially, what lessons are filling in ASAP? So we can't keep up. And yeah, are people being turned away on Shark 3, for example? Absolutely. Then pool space becomes the issue as well, because we can only run so many lessons in the shallow end. And in my opinion, we're already inundated in the shallow end, where we're all crunched in such a small area. And Super Shark and Pre-Comp also become our issue as well. So it's not even just your beginner levels or your intermediate, it's even our more advanced levels that are starting to see the squeeze. And it's come fall, that's going to be our biggest issue. So Pre-Comp, Sharp classes, and I think our older minnows are going to be filling pretty quickly, continuously.
I mean, if we're going to have an issue with that, I don't think we should be turning people away, though. I mean, how do we, is there a way that we can actually change some of the class scheduling to accommodate for that?
I don't know if it's 100% the class scheduling yet, because I also have to look at how many instructors we have, and I have to look at the time limit of the class and what rolls from next to next to next, and if the instructors, if we even have instructors to keep up with it. Ideally, it would be nice to have one instructor that teaches 3 Sharp 3s, and one instructor that teaches 3 Sharp 2s and 3 Sharp 1s, and then another 3 instructors that does 3 Minnow 1s, but now we're looking at space issues, because now we're talking 6 classes all at the same time. Parents have already given us feedback that class times are too late. Some of our class times run later in the evening, and we're not prepared for that as well. Can we start them sooner? And can we move like Super Strokes back? But we can't, because our shallow ones are invaded. And then Super Strokes need some of the deep end, but then the swim team takes on our deep end. So there's a lot of dynamics right now that we're trying to figure out for the fall before we overcommit our pool space to our swim teams, because they're the ones that heat up a lot of our pool space. If our swim teams were in the pool, we would block off the entire 5-foot section of the shallow end. We move your shark through, they should pre-conquer super strokes to the shallow end, which would then open up space to offer some of the younger levels, especially the ones that are filling. So if I know I have a shark three that's overly full, I have more space in 5 feet of water. If I have a minnow one that has a class that's reached its max, a wait list of four, and we need to open another one, then that would have the space in shallow water to do so. But to meet everybody's needs, that's
well, I mean, I get like for everybody's needs, but I'm just saying, like, I mean, if we're one family, and then you're also saying that we have like 20 applications coming in for scholarships, mm-hmm. and then you're already concerned about having space for that many, like, I mean, it just seems like it's something we should really be looking into.
Are you thinking along the lines of, if they're full, can they be put on a wait list that?
Well, I mean, I think it's a wait list, but I'm just saying that if we have people that want to buy a product, we should be able to produce that product.
But what I guess what I was saying, like, if there was a wait list where at the beginning, just right before the concession, it's like, oh, well, wait a minute, we don't have that. We can offer another Shark 4, and then they can contact those families who are, they couldn't offer it.
Right, and to that point, too, I mean, like, when we first initially asked about it and they said they were full, there was no wait list that we were offered to be put onto until like the second day, I think, that Austin said he would put us on one. You know, so, I don't know. Well, so it'd be, I mean, if there's a demand, it seems like we should be seeing what we can do to fill the demand.
This is Commissioner Gengler. It also sounds like there might be, you know, from what I'm hearing you say, Brad, you know, there's this conflict where swim teams want the water, and then we also have the swim lessons, so maybe we have to, and I don't think there's an easy answer, but I think maybe we have to look at that. Maybe that is a problem that, you know, can be discussed as far as, okay, so, you know, how is the decision made over who gets priority? I mean, if we were revenue-based, if all we cared about was bringing in the most money, then we'd be like, you know, forget the swim lessons, let's just do the rentals because that's easy money. But if our mission and vision is different, and we're saying that teaching kids to swim is most important, then we're gonna need to figure out how can we do this without totally alienating swim teams, because we do need them. And
right, and like I said, like, this is an ebb and flow issue. I know that's going to change every single session. There's going to be, you know, different numbers, but so I'm kind of like just wondering, like, is there a way that we can try and start figuring out how to take care of, like, if we do have fewer kids in minnow one, then are we going to be able to take that teacher and say, okay, we're going to, you know, make it a minnow one, minnow two class, and then, you know, be able to use that space for, you know, a Sharks 2, Sharks 3 class.
Yeah, that's interesting. And, you know, my initial gut reaction says no, don't combine, just based on what I'm already hearing from feedback and parents in this community. And as much as a lot of our families, first-time swim lessons, first-time swimmers in their entire family history, these are first-generation swim lesson takers, and parents are smart, and they know if a level is too advanced for three kids versus the two, because we made the effort to combine, the instructor isn't advanced enough to understand the differences, and then to teach the class as one, you're essentially teaching two classes, then you're crisscrossing the message, then mom's frustrated because they're not getting enough lesson time, and this young child needs more instruction, and then this kid's sitting for 5 minutes, and these are all the things that I'm already hearing from families.
Right.
Right.
So I think our biggest issue, not even an issue, but the biggest thing we have to understand is at what point are we really willing to talk about, you know, our priority, which is our mission, and swim teams, that's a big revenue.
Well,
and to be able to carve out 5 feet, the 5 foot section eliminates all rental opportunities between the hours of 3 and almost 6 and 7 o'clock.
Well, Brad, one of the other things that we haven't really, you know, I think would be an interesting discussion with renters and, you know, is what hours are we not using? Either we're not open or we're renting like on Sunday mornings to, you know, whitewater rafters or whoever, we're scuba divers or whatever. What hours, how are we using the pool during off hours or no hours?
No.
And is it possible? Because I would imagine, like, you know, I think water polo ended up taking later times.
Yeah.
You know, like they were okay to work until 10. And I understand that that then becomes an issue of staffing, but I, you know, it's like this massive water ballet kind of thing that we have to, which would be an excellent class, but that we have to, I think there's a lot of moving pieces and to try and, you know, meet the needs of, I can totally understand a parent not wanting their, you know, minnow two person to be in a class with minnow three, because, you know, I mean, you're not talking about, you know, your instructors are, for the most part, pretty young, and they're not, you know, so I can see that, but I can also understand Aaron's point where, you know, we really, you know, we get them started, bye, and we'd like to, you know, have them continue, and so, you know.
And, I mean, obviously it's going to become more of an issue as, the you know, more of the centennial campaign, you know, we have more demand, and it's, and thank you for all, like, I know this juggling thing is the hardest thing in the world to do, so taking all the different input that's splashed at you,
right,
you know, it's it's hard.
It sucks. No, it is, it's really hard.
But that's every aquatic environment, even pools that have plenty of water, it's the same issue everywhere we go, it's the same comments that we get consistently, constantly. I've never seen a purpose for less. Even the ones I manage, there's always something to work on, something to fix, working on schedules, availability, time frame of what classes take precedent versus the others. To meet every parent's need becomes that constant juggle. I have a dad that emails me almost weekly. It's like, hey, can we get earlier sharp classes, earlier sharp classes, earlier short classes? And it's just like, where are we going to put them? And when do we move? And when do we say smack? Unfortunately, you can't start at 4:30 in Kennedy, Catholic, and Foster because it's girls' season. Unfortunately, you can't have the pool from 3 to X because it's swim lesson. If they can't get the pool between 3 and X.
Well, minus superstrokes, I mean, are we doing anything really in the deep end of the
pool? What's that?
Minus superstrokes, are we really doing that much in the deep end? Like where we need to have the lanes?
Say that one more time.
Minus superstrokes class, how much is actually being taught in the deep end or could basically not be taught in the deep
That's
end?
That's our biggest problem is we don't have access to the deep end to meet the requirements of the class we're teaching. Superstroke and pre-comp should be in 25 minutes.
Right.
And we can't even move our kids over there until almost 7 o'clock, which is why the class is late, which is why the parents go, can't need to be earlier. But the reason why they're so late is because we can finally steal a lane around 6:30 to meet that need to where we can then do our proper instruction.
Right.
But it leading up to that.
What's the demand on that? Like, I mean, do we have, like,
rentals?
The class constantly full and...
Rentals.
Is that what's going on before 7?
It's a swim team.
It's a swim team.
Foster High School, Kennedy County.
They take all, they don't take all 5 lanes. They take, you know what? I think we're micromanaging this at this point. I think these are good points and it sounds like, you know, something maybe you might want to call a programming meeting about.
7 a.m.
pre-comp,
Saturday morning.
There's a programming
on Saturday. Oh, there is?
There is one, yes. Okay, so I asked about it. I was told it's not the shag.
No, but there's a whole
different
thing.
On Saturday.
Or TPAC. Or Dr.
TPAC. So there's not a marketing meeting after TPAC?
Dr. Brad is running it.
Hey,
no,
wait,
there's a program.
So we initially sent out an email to schedule a program meeting after TPAC.
You probably got all kinds of response.
So now that I know exactly who's on my program committee, I just want to make sure we're most likely be moving it to a weekday night to where we can all have folks that want to participate or at least want to be able to share in that conversation.
So there's not a programming meeting this Saturday.
Not officially scheduled, but there will be.
Okay.
So there's not on Saturday. No program.
It's a marketing meeting.
No meeting on Saturday for me.
Where did did you send an email about that? What?
You sent an email about programming, but no, not that there's not marketing.
Oh, I don't do my marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're everything.
But then I didn't know the programming meeting got canceled. I can't go anyway.
Email about marketing and programming.
So no marketing or programming meeting on Saturday?
No.
Just TPAC.
Just TPAC.
Oh, good, because I won't be there.
Who's the TPAC person this month?
I don't remember.
This one is... I believe it's you.
Okay, thank you.
I looked last night and I forgot.
I'll be home.
Is there, at this table, who wants to attend a program marketing meeting or a least half.
Is programming separate to marketing?
We'd all want to be part of it.
I would say we just roll marketing right into the end of programming and just carry that conversation after we have.
Well, it's going to be a long meeting.
The person who didn't even know there was a meeting.
Well, I'm just, I asked.
And since I have you guys in front of me, is there a day that you guys would like?
Just have a programming marketing retreat.
That is kind of a, just to put my two cents, that is kind of a lot to chew, programming, commit, marketing together.
Especially with
just because
people.
with all of us. I mean, because programming hasn't had a meeting in a while, and that there could be a lot of discussion, so we may want to think about
rates.
Marketing again.
Yes, rates.
TPAC.
Vanessa would like to talk about increasing in rates.
Between the 19th and the 23rd, is there a day that works well for everybody? Programming.
18th and 23rd.
19th. Between the
19th
and 23rd, and then a marketing meeting between the
26th
and
30th. I'll be out of town from the 23rd through the 31st.
I'm good
after
this weekend.
You.
I'm only gone this weekend, so I'm good.
Great. So I will send out an email. We will do a program meeting on the 20th.
On the what?
Tuesday the 20th?
Mm-hmm. I'm just picking a day.
Yeah, you got it with us.
Was that marketing or program meeting?
Program.
Our program, yes.
Program.
What time? 5:30?
I leave that to you guys. You tell me.
5:30.
What was your last one?
5:30, programming.
We're going to do a marketing meeting.
Programming on the 20th at 5:30. 5:30 to whenever. Do you have to give an end time?
No.
Okay.
And I'm just going to pick the next day for the marketing meeting, which will be the following Tuesday, the 27th.
No, Aaron's going to be gone.
Okay. So do you want to do it the same week?
Do the marketing the same week of the
No. Are you the 21st? Don't forget, and you really sorry. So the Sullivan Center is on the 21st, which is our kind of in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
The Sullivan Center is doing something?
See in the park, Sullivan Center.
So why don't we have marketing the first week
a
of September?
Done that day. I will not be able
to. Because, I mean.
Is this hard to have back-to-back meetings in 1 week?
Very hard.
Brad, I'm just saying because I know this group. So we may want to.
Maybe we could have it on Labor Day.
Oh, perfect. So you could do September, I mean, it depends. If we kept on a Tuesday, September 3rd.
Let's do the 3rd.
For the first day of school?
No, the next day.
No, the 4th is the first day of school.
Okay. At 5:30. Great. Email go out, calendar invites.
Okay.
So programming and outreach is on the 20th.
Yes.
And you know who those, all the people are to send it to, right?
Everybody.
Like
everyone.
She should be. Anybody from TPAC should be.
On marketing.
Di, Jackie.
But Di also likes programming. Okay.
They have the option.
Yes. Yeah, that's best.
All right, thank you. Okay, moving on to item 6C.
Wait a second.
Oh, sorry.
We're done. Are we talking about finances yet?
No,
no.
We're not.
I mean, like, these current reports?
Yes.
That's the operations report, yes.
Okay, so Brad, on page, no page number, on the July, yes, mm-hmm. That's it. Tell me about the cash donation. Who did that?
That is Scott. Seattle Dive Tours. So they do, I think it was a percentage of their...
Something. They run
some
revenue that they choose
a
charity
and
divide it
among us. Nice. Do we
put together
a
few? Okay, and then I had a question.
I sent a donation receipt for thank you.
Okay, I'm really confused on this page with all the POS summary.
Mm-hmm.
Why is everything the POS item number 2018? 2018, are these ever going to be changed to 2019?
No, so when the rates changed last, Michelle could not just do them all on January 1st at midnight. So she had to, it took weeks to change all the rates.
Okay.
So she made new rates for everything and labeled it 2018.
So she knew that was the rate.
on January 1st, she just archived the old ones and made these ones active.
So we can't really look at 2018 passes because we don't, like, you know, like a pass is a yearly pass. So at some point.
These are point of sale items, so the passes are under memberships. It wouldn't even be on this report.
These are just drop-ins.
Drop-ins, lockers. Gear.
And these are necessarily even saying it's for 2018, it's just saying
right.
These
were yeah,
when
so
the
2018.
Rate
got it,
right.
Understand, that's fine.
Yeah. So there'll be a 2020
there will be the
right.
As well.
Okay.
Do we have a pool for you?
Heck yeah.
Woo. I mean, because it's a lot, like each
every
lane thing. Has a resident, a non-resident, every pool party for this many swimmers, that many swimmers, the deep end, shallow end. There's a lot of rates that need to be changed when we do a change or rate.
Oh, that's good
change.
To know. Note, Christine must be at the meeting.
Brad, Michelle did all of them.
Oh, Brad must be at the meeting.
What's that it?
I'm sorry, yes. I'm done.
It's okay. Now going on to 6C, the district administrator report at 6:46.
So, in addition to my usual administrative tasks, I worked on the budget preparation at the Finance Committee, which was fun.
Thank you, Christine, because I know you mean it.
I also attended the Department of Revenue Unclaimed Property Workshop with Amy so that we could get a real handle on what that is all about. And we learned that there's a lot of work to do. So in addition to just our uncashed payroll checks and uncashed voucher checks, we also have to turn over all unclaimed user credit after 2 years.
Wow.
So that is gonna be a big project for me. The good news is, the auditor had said it herself, because if you use their upload template as opposed to entering everything in manually, which what I will do because there are hundreds of credits in Rec 1, there is no date. So I can do everything up until now as part of 2019. I don't have to go in and worry about
certain
amending
times,
2018.
Yeah.
She
yeah,
just told me, she's
God.
Like, just do it all now. Get it done.
And also, Christine, we discussed this in finance. So the good news too is that we're changing our processes so that we will not be giving user credits. Refunds will be given immediately, so we will never have to, because there's a lot of administrative overhead
mm-hmm.
associated with this. So we're going to change our procedures so that we don't have credits being.
And it's not just every unclaimed credit in Rec 1. Each one has to be looked at individually.
Yeah.
She had said, for instance, if somebody came in and paid for a drop-in membership and then we had to close the pool for lightning or whatever reason, and we gave them a credit for their admission pay, that would be something we would turn over. But if somebody came in and was just unhappy with their swim lessons, but they still got their swim lessons, and we just gave them a credit just for customer service, and then they didn't use that, that would not be something that we would turn over. So it's just going to take a while to go in and analyze each and every credit that has been used before.
So what are we going to do in those kind of cases where we give customer service pass? We're not going
to
give them a refund.
No, we don't have to do that.
User credit anymore. We will.
We'll either refund or give them a
physical
pass.
So we'll physically give them
a
pass.
Which do not expire. As long as they do not expire, we never have to turn them over.
And a swim lesson will be an actual refund back on their credit card.
Yes.
Right.
Or
yes.
Whatever.
You just exchange their money right there as opposed to just doing user credits.
And it was a big shock to many, many people at that meeting.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we're the only one that said
mm-hmm. That's excellent.
Yeah. And I felt actually good because there was a major utility company represented at this workshop as well, and they were even more confused than me. So it's not just us, it's everybody. I submitted the JLARC public records data report, which was just me telling them that we are not reporting. We because we don't need any of the we don't need the requirements, and we really don't monitor how much we're spending on public records requests.
It's just a requirement.
It's just a requirement. They basically want to make sure that we know that we need to report this. So as long as we report that we're not reporting it, they can check us off as having
not reported nothing.
Yes. Yeah, we don't have.
And I submitted, we have until December 19th to submit our one reimbursement for WCIA, but I figured no one's gonna take a training that would be more cost than the leading others training. So I went ahead and submitted that early. We should be getting the reimbursement. It's been approved.
Perfect.
And we should be getting that soon. And in addition, they also, in addition to our one training reimbursement per year, they also reimburse 50% of our Summit Law Group webinars.
Oh, nice.
So we'll be getting that.
Way to generate some revenue. Sort of.
That's a lot. So. I just wanted to say I really appreciated getting the bid stuff in advance.
Oh, thanks, Jerry's idea.
Yeah, thanks to everyone, because that's when we have these things, it's helpful to get it early, and if it's ready, thank you.
Great. Anything else? I'm going to cut anybody off. Okay, moving on to report 6D, the Finance Committee. 650, there's a 651.
The fun.
The fun, that's what it should say, right?
Okay. Detect sarcasm. It's going to take a face value. Commissioner Zapfel, our finance meeting in July, we did some minor employee handbook updates, just job descriptions regarding certifications. Commissioner Frangela Anderson worked with Brad on that, and that's going to come up to the BOC for review sometime in the near future. Mm-hmm. As Chrissy just mentioned, we discussed the processes for unclaimed property refunds. We're still checking. We checked on the status of school district usage for the ILA schedule, and we're still waiting for where we were at that point, waiting for TSD to respond. I'm guessing we're okay. We're still waiting. We clarified, did some clarification for Brad on the current employee discount benefits. The food merchandise is 50%, and they get a family pass, and just clarifying what that was, what that meant. We went through at the Finance Committee, went through the mission purpose edits and gave it to Christine for posting and forwarded it on to TPAC, so that should be done. Mid-year budget review took a little bit of time, and that was some great conversation. That's later in the packet. 2020 budget. So for those people who'd like to come to the meetings, and this is what our kind of schedule is. In July, we did the executive, administrative, and shared expenses and operational wages. August is kind of when it's all going to come together in the first real draft form. We're going to have all income and all remaining expenses for the general fund and the CIP fund. So the intent is for that to be forwarded then to TPAC in their September meeting for input. Depending on how it goes, we may have an additional meeting if we need to before it goes to TPAC, so we'll just see how August goes. And then it will be coming up to the board and definitely in the October meeting for the first draft, so it will be presented for input. And then obviously in December is when we are required to pass our 2020 budget, so that's kind of what it's looking like for the next few months. Our next finance meeting is Monday, August the 26th at 5:30 p.m. and it's going to be budget. That's all we're going to do. So, does anyone have any questions regarding the finance?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm curious about. So I'm looking at the percentages. I'm looking at your column L. I think it's great when column L on page one is exceeding 50%, because from what I understand, this budget report goes to 6/30/2019, so 50% would be half of the year. But on page, so yay for the 66%, you know, obviously some of this is kind of small anyway, the 21%, I guess, on line 20, yeah.
Just to clarify, and I know, Jerry, we had discussed it. I mean, obviously, like, for example, property tax is number 5.
Yeah.
It's always going to be a bit, depending on when you get the revenue, and even, for that matter, general passes, or general admission, not the passes, but general admission actually as of June 30th is going to trend lower than 50% because we're open so much more in the summer months. So we tend to have more general admission revenue actually in July, August, in July and August. So although 50% is a good kind of ballpark,
yeah,
there are anomalies.
Right. Okay. But on page 3 of 6, line 124, what's going on with our security and fire alarm?
No, no plan left right then. No, we did. We did have the fire alarm system basically had to be completely redone.
Okay.
So new panel and all new detectors. So
okay.
It was unanticipated, and
okay.
I believe it's actually some of like those things are addressed in the mid-budget review later in the year.
Okay, and then page 4 of 6, line 163, which you probably can't answer, line 165.
163.
Is
oh, okay, I can tell you 163. So 163.
What's swim table mean?
So the swim table, that's like a table that the little kids stand on. We had one, they got rid of it, and then we bought another one. It was part of the list of things we bought the end of last year.
And the shipping got messed up in December. It was supposed to be paid out of 2018 budget, but because the shipping and the billing with Amazon, it charged the card in January.
Okay.
So that's why that is on.
Okay.
And we knew we were going to have some expenses.
And these, I'm just, you know, I mean, it's not a huge amount. I'm just
curious.
Interested in seeing the percentage because, to me, this means like I am sure that we're going to be buying more of line 165.
Mm-mm.
Or 164.
Are you talking
the 97.28%?
That's the staff uniforms.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to be buying more of those.
Well, that was discussed at finance. We did discuss that though. Because I brought it up, and I was told that we were not going to exceed that.
That
we wouldn't be needing. He wouldn't
be
needing anymore.
Looking at page 4 of 6 of this, Brad.
4 of 6.
4 of 6.
4 of 6. Line 165.
In the finance.
Because it was a question that came up, not at the last one, but the one prior to.
Yeah, that staff uniforms we were.
Because we're right at budget.
But I can't imagine that you're not. I mean, I would think you're going to have to go over budget. Because you're not, this was through June, so it doesn't include anything you might have purchased in July or August, and you're going to have new people, so I don't know. I would find it, that'd be great if you could keep it at 1945-65, but I'm...
That's our goal. 2020 didn't come soon.
Okay.
There's some things in here that I feel like we just got to...
Okay. Well, again, it's not a huge amount of money. I'm just looking at percentages. And then I guess the other one was page 5 of 6, line 211, which is Red Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to have more expenditure? Again, not a lot of money, so no big deal if we do, but I'm just curious if we're, you know, not budgeting enough.
Well, that one will be offset with the revenue.
Okay.
So if the revenue, you know, because the patrons pay for that directly, they pay us and then we expense it. So if it goes higher than budget,
then
the revenue will also go higher.
Okay.
To match it.
So it.
It's like a pass through.
So it washes. Okay.
How much washes?
Great. Okay, that was it. Thank you.
Anything else? Moving on to 6E, 658 TPAC report.
Thank you, TPAC.
I don't know if there's anything to report. The last meeting was pretty... I don't think there was that much that we did talk about the... The volunteer policy, which will be talked about with the board, I believe we talked about that in September.
Right. About that, we talked about like just a little bit more planning for down in the day, which has already happened. Oh, and we discussed a little bit about, the possibilities, because we did talk a little bit about ADA stuff, and if we would be looking at trying to get some grants and that sort of thing set up to kind of cover the cost of maybe bringing some stuff up.
And there is the parks levy that got passed King County Parks Levy that dedicates $44 million to capital for public pools. So everyone's going to be queuing up. So Brad's got that on his
radar.
So that in the next, because it's a kind of a 4 or 5 year thing. So we're going to think about prioritizing what we want. So that's I was just making a comment that could be something too.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Not $44 million for us, Brad. You can realize that, right? Unless you do a really awesome proposal.
Yeah, I think mainly it's just like the wanting to try and figure out more of the stuff for the volunteer policy.
Right. Okay, thank you. Moving on to report 6F, Programming and Outreach Committee, 7 o'clock. From my understanding, there was no meeting, so there's no report. So the report is that we're having a programming meeting on August 20th at 5:30, marketing at September 3rd. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. Okie dokie. Moving on to business item A, mid-year budget review. I will turn this over to Commissioner Zapatola.
So, Commissioner Zaslow, for the record, and I want to thank Commissioner Angela Anderson for stepping in for me last meeting and answering all the finance questions.
Thank God there wasn't very many.
She did an excellent job.
So, this is a mid-year budget review. We had a discussion at finance. It's presented for your perusal. Basically, it's informational purposes and the summary is balancing the additional items from 2018 that were not expensed until 2019. Like, for example, the swim table would be one thing, and some unanticipated expenses with some realized savings and additional rental revenue. It is expected that we will be in budget in both revenue and expenses. However, there is the potential for unexpected expenses related to that pool liner capital project, and we're making the recommendation that they should maintain, the TPMPD should maintain a financially conservative approach. So, anyone has any questions?
To the overall budget or to the pool liner?
To the overall budget, because if there's there is the potential for if something more catastrophic, I don't want to say catastrophic, but significant happens, that we will then have to, we don't want to just go spend, and then at the end of the year, just because we have money in certain budget allocations or items, it's going to be an overall, we're a cash basis, so it's at the end of the year. We had some savings here, that's why we had or additional revenue at the same point. Like, for example, last year we had quite a healthy additional revenue over what we had budgeted, so we were able to do quite a few capital-type projects during our November closure, but we didn't know that until later in the year. And this we won't know until really later in the year.
Mm-hmm.
It might be 2020. Do anyone have any questions regarding the report?
I'm leaning in towards the main big budget thing I'm thinking about is the upcoming resourcing. Do we have like money in the CIP for stuff that we like have allocated that we want to do for this year?
Yeah.
That we can say, well, maybe we can do that 2020, and then that can be moved in over to this project if need be.
Yeah. So if you look on Christine Westerhart did a really nice, very simple budget report for us, and so if you look at what was budgeted for this year, it's probably going to be used. It's on the very last page of our packet, and the second table down there is the CIP fund, and you'll notice the only thing budgeted for this year was $55,000 for the pool liner. So as far as actual budget purposes, that's what was budgeted. There is additional money in there.
The grant.
Or in the CIP fund as such, you'll see what our balance there is. But as far as actual budget perspective, what we were hoping to keep to is that, and it looks like we're going to be well into that.
Yeah, we should be able to, I think we're not going to use it all. I think we're actually going to do pretty well.
Okay.
Awesome.
I've got
like that. The glass is half full attitude. That's
like so, yeah. But so, but did that answer your question?
Yeah, no, that's my main kind of idea. Like,
in the last one.
I mean, there are places where I think we're going to be saving in expenses, and there's such as legal and accounting. I'm thinking we're going to have some savings there, and there are, based on the way that our rentals are going, I believe there's going to be additional revenue there. So I think we're going to be, you know, good. But for example, I know when Des Moines did a pool relining project not that long ago, there were some drain issues, and suddenly it was a very
expensive,
a much higher project. We're hoping we don't have that, but because we have had it opened and like the drains were done to some level 6-7 years ago, so it shouldn't be quite as new. So, but you never know, right? If rebar starts popping out, or
yeah. It's a risk we take, but yes. I think we're in good shape.
Yeah.
Where was the interior and exterior painting? Was that moved to another year?
That was moved. Yes, we did not budget for this.
With the neighbor night out type thing, we're actually had like one person that did ask about when we were repainting the exterior of the pool. Mm. Just out of, because like they were like, it looks like, you know, not that it's like chipping, but
sorry.
Oh, just that way. I did have like one comment while I was in the neighborhood night out, where somebody was like wondering when we would be doing that, just out of curiosity.
It did get moved out. It was for next year.
It's 2020 is what it's on the current one. This is the one, the most current version.
So then this isn't. I'm sorry.
This is just for 20.
So the 55,000 is proposed
for 2019.
Here. Oh, for this year, 2020. Sorry, that's what I thought. Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
And of course, too, if thing large items, if it is large items like painting, I mean, those are things we can consider under grants also if it's going to be huge amounts of money. Just whatever Brad wants to, you know, prioritize.
Because right. Anything to like the grants with King County, that $44 million is like a whole plethora of stuff that we could start picking and choosing to try and get grants for.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all rolls out. It's still new; we just got approved, so there's still. I believe it starts in 2020, though. Mm-hmm. I want to say.
Yeah,
so it's five. It's a 5-year thing. It's not like $44 million is going to go all in one year.
Right.
It's going to be divvied out like the current one we got. It'll be interesting to see what Brad suggests, maybe things that, new things that are identified. So, but short answer, it is budgeted for next year. Doesn't mean we have to do it next year.
Any other questions? Thank you, Commissioner Sappleton. Moving on to business item 7B, 2019 pool liner resurfacing project. I will turn this over to Brad, Director of Aquatics Operations.
Well, hello,
recap.
Welcome. It's always a pleasure to make my way up from the wonderful pool. Quite a short commute. Take a look at your packet in front of you. Really, I mean, it's pretty basic. Really, the goal today is to go through a basic review of each one of the proposals that are submitted, and then essentially approve, can we move forward with our pool liner resurfacing project with our lowest bidder. So, really, at the end of the day, three bids came in. The first bid was from Anderson Pool Works. Anderson Pool Works is also familiar with our aquatic side. They did our work previously.
Oh.
When the city of Tuckerville.
They were the ones who did it?
I believe so.
Yes, that's now I do recognize it. Yeah.
And they were the ones that were the liners, like
who Tony recommended.
What?
That's who Des Moines, Tony Obermeyer recommended.
Mm-hmm.
They recommended during the last time, or?
No, this time? This is an outside discussion I had.
Interesting.
W.M. Smith and Associates, pools around the area are very much aware of who these guys are. Great company. They were our second quote that came through. Worker Pacific, who we're currently utilizing as a maintenance contract, also submitted the quote. As our third submitted bid. You can see Worker Pacific is our lowest bid at 170. Our highest bid is 334. And Anderson Boards, our first bid is 240. Looking through, actually, we'll just go to the first proposal and we'll just kind of pick out.
I've just got some, before we get into individual companies, just some questions. Commissioner Zappel, for the record. All companies are qualified. Any of these companies are verified qualified.
Is that a question?
Yes, that is a question. Are they qualified? Verified.
They came through MRC rosters, isn't that?
No? But we that just that little check. Remember, you have that. What is that check?
The check is no. We only went through the lowest bid.
You just checklisted. Okay.
Correct. We checklisted the.
Because there's, I just there's a new requirement for us to verify that each, and I see you did it for that. That was my question. Did we do it for all? So that they are the lowest bidder is verified.
Yes.
And all the checkpoints. Okay. So if there was a reason why we go with a different one, we would have to verify. We have no reason to think that they're not, but just do that little process. Go to L&I and check it. Okay.
Correct.
I mean, that's what I did. We went to
You can go to L&I.
We did check the contractor status, mm-hmm. and we checked the contractor and the subcontractor.
Correct.
Which in the future, I think we should require they put at least the UBI subcontractors on the contract, because
that's
we
helpful.
Had to do some weird searching to find out if they were.
Okay.
And it came up good to go.
Yep.
That's
no, that looked okay. So that one.
But if Worker was not our preferred contractor, we would do the same process for
right.
the other two contractors.
Correct.
Yes.
And we did it that way because it was on the checklist I got from the.
Yeah.
And it said verification of low bidder minimum qualifications.
Okay.
So that's why I did it with just a low bidder. But
so, okay.
Do whatever you guys wanted.
No,
if
I was.
If you want me to check them all, I'll check them all.
I know we're required to do lowest bidder. It's just I was just that was more of a
yeah, and I was just kind of going by this.
So and then the second question I had is, can you refresh my memory on our grant status? Are we haven't executed a contract with the grant with King County yet? So what we're doing tonight is contingent on us executing that contract first. We want King County's done first before we burden ourselves with a contract. I mean, I know that we've got the money, but there's that always that thing. I know there was a discussion, Austin said something about we want to get it in sooner than later just in case something happens with money.
Yes.
And I've just got a note here about, you know, we can always make motions contingent on. I was just curious what your feeling was. What are we, does that make sense? What are we doing? Are we doing it? Are we committing to ourselves to this project regardless of whether or not we sign that contract? Or I was thinking we do the contract with King County, and because we just needed these numbers to be able to fill out.
That makes sense. You know what? I'm glad you brought that up because that was not on my radar. The King County grant, where are we? Currently, King County grant is still our grant. We were still awarded the grant. It's still funds that we are expecting. The process would be to submit the
proposal
scope of work.
Scope of work. So
yeah.
This would satisfy
that
what they need. We already communicated with Butch, who is our grant administrator. And I'm going to log in my email here to give just Butch's quick response. I know Butch will be heading out of the office. End of August, September, communication. So anything that we plan on doing, we need to have with Butch, as in my opinion, soon.
Yeah.
So that way he has time to review, stamp of approval. I would then feel confident once he sees it, approves it, and feels comfortable with everything we've submitted, contract aside, we would then officially award.
Execute the contract.
Contract.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
No, that is. I just.
There was a step process that we just, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think this was what we needed to move to that.
Well,
step.
I know that we were required by the grant to be able to give them a better budget, and now we have a better budget, right. Or we will have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, that makes sense. And I just one question about all of them: have we done reference checks on any of the companies, or is that something that after we can make a contingent on reference checking?
Is reference checks a...
I don't know if it's an official thing. I know it's best practices just to...
No, I just worked for a checklist immediately,
yeah.
So... No, we have not done reference checks yet. If we choose to go to Orga, will provide us with a review that's also on.
Yeah,
it's in here. Yeah, it's in here.
So I'm just saying there's some contingencies on the motion, like contingent on reference checks being satisfactory, and just making sure that those pieces are done, that we follow through with those companies, and they go, oh. I mean, we've got, like, for example, Orca, we have some personal experience with it, but it's still on the larger projects to see how it all fell.
If the organizations that they did previous work at are in the area with remotely close enough with their radius, I would do reference checks early, but I would also stop that just before the facilities develop.
Yeah, okay.
What is Coleman Pool?
Coleman Pool.
Coleman Pool, yeah.
Is there a form that you have for hiring?
So, it's just one of those things that just best practices. So, yes, I don't believe there's any particular form.
No, there isn't.
I know for the flooring project, we definitely.
Do you have a form for that?
Dave Perkins, I don't think, had a form.
Okay. I
didn't
have a form.
But you just want the questions to be the same for all three references?
They should be.
Yeah.
If you're gonna, yes, for all three references, yes.
It's just, these are just process things. Mm-hmm. I just want to put in there.
And you're totally fine with Brad just coming mm-hmm. up with his own. Mm-hmm. There's not certain things you want to know.
I don't know.
I think Brad has.
No, I think it's up to Brad. It's up to him. He's going to know.
But one thing that I would, you know.
Satisfaction of the product, like, is it the future expectation? Is it?
How were they on warranty work?
Did warranty work?
How much do they stay within budget?
So how?
How far do they stay in budget?
Orca could provide us that 100%.
Okay. With each of the projects?
Des Moines, paperwork, and scope of work. I think Anderson did Des Moines. Des Moines.
I think he might have done Des Moines.
Yeah.
Anderson.
So
was,
Anderson.
Yeah. Their entire overages, their
but that's not the one that.
So it's pretty,
yeah.
Good read,
I have.
But you would actually reach out to these pools and ask for references, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's easy. Yeah. And then visit at least one home within close proximity just yeah. to make sure that the work does.
So I just want to understand, Anderson Pool Works was the company that did the liner when the city of Chuckwilla was running the pool. Is that correct?
When the remodel happened.
When the remodel happened.
That's his understanding. We don't know that for sure, do
I've
we?
I've seen paperwork in the basement.
Okay. I have two.
Okay, so... They sucked.
Correct.
I mean, I'm sorry. This is Commissioner Gangler, and I just want to make sure that I understand. I mean, that liner, when Michelle was, you know, doing the work she was doing, was basically told that, I'm sorry, we can't, you know, scrub the bottom of your pool because we're going to hit concrete or whatever, and it was a problem with the liner. So I'm curious.
Right.
Because it would seem that we'd want to make sure that in our, you know, kind of our archives, our history, that if that was the case with Anderson, and there comes a time that we really think that maybe they had the lowest bid or whatever, that we do have, that we do note that, you know, this was our experience.
That would be a qualification issue.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. I mean, I'm kind of, you know, it's interesting that there's such a diverse amount mm-hmm. that were quoted. I don't know if
different products mm-hmm. too.
Okay.
That was the question that I had.
Okay.
I am not familiar with municipal boards, obviously, here in Washington State. I think we also have to keep in mind, let's say Anderson did come in the lowest quote, we also don't know how the facility was cared for after the liner. So the liner that's in the pool, remember, is all the longevity liner depends on chemical maintenance. Is somebody running the chems, running the calcium hardness is a huge factor. Anyone drained the pool previously and did their early acid wash, did an aggressive acid wash, could have also ruined the liner. So this is where, you know, my first reaction was Anderson Cooler, never, right?
Right.
But then coming from a quiet background, I'm like, well, hold on a second.
They could have been, great job, right.
And then it may have just been city maintenance that may have done a poor job that
right.
deteriorated the pool liner. So I just want to be fair.
So
yeah, no.
Yeah. Some of the beautiful cabinets and you come out with 80 grit sandpaper and suddenly it doesn't
work. No, good point. Well taken.
And not that they're even on our radar. The quotes are all over the place. Obviously, we're going to go over this bit. But at the end of the day, it's a note to ourselves that when and if we get this project completed, it is imperative that we, as operations, maintain that pool liner within the specifications aligned to us in terms of our operating parameters, in terms of the chemicals,
right.
Hardness, how do we brush it, how often should we vacuum it, yada, yada, yada. So there's going to be a little bit of training for the staff just to make sure that we're as consistent as possible to get the most life out of that.
And I just, one last question. These are the only three companies that came back to us. Did you have any other feedback from anyone else, like regarding timeline? Like, we don't want to bid, but we just don't like the timeline or anything? Or is this the only response?
No, it's
one other that said,
not bid.
Thank you, but we're not bidding on this.
Okay.
Yeah. And then all the other companies that we specifically reached out to via a phone call and emailed them the proposal one more time because it must have gotten lost somehow in the masses of emails that these folks are getting.
So the question that I have, Commissioner Frangiello Anderson, as I read through these, it appears, I mean, there was that wide range of pricing. I was like, are you kidding me? But it does seem like there's different products that are being quoted, and I'm just curious of what you're familiar with. Like the one from Anderson says a commercial quartz plaster. WMS has thermal plastic that eliminates most traditional pool finishings. And then the one that I looked through it a couple different times and I didn't see it. All I saw from the one from whatever, Orca, it just said will provide a durable solution.
It says plaster on there. So.
Where is the plaster? Because I looked through it, I couldn't find it. It was really hard to read to try to find it. So they're also doing the same commercial quartz plaster like Anderson quoted?
So that's my question too. It says,
Where's the plaster page?
So replaster swimming pools. So
what
that's
page?
On
what page?
Page, well, in the quote form, Exhibit C quote form, where it said the 170,000. It's not detail. I had some issues with the level of detail on this.
Yes, thank you.
On a lot of it, I've got a lot of questions. So it was on that where it said 170,000,
right here.
Just in tiny little print. But I think, Brad, would you like to go? Why don't we start with each?
Well, that's the name of plasterers.
Plasterers. I'd like to have a discussion about that.
Yeah.
Since it sounds like the one that we're interested in is Orca, mm-hmm. I think we should start with Orca and see how much, what kind of time suck we have, and then decide if we want to.
Do you think we can suck time up?
Yes, and. The proposed, they have plasters are Libra Pool LLC as a subcontractor.
Well, I was actually looking at the description of the work.
Okay.
But, Brad, why don't we do, I think that's, Jerry, does that make sense to just go to Anderson or to go to Orca first?
Yeah, let's
just talk about that.
Oh, could they make it any smaller?
So, sorry.
Possibly.
We are going to start with Orca, which really starts in earnest.
After page 23.
On the exhibit.
Then you have
form, right?
The rest you have your exhibit B, exhibit C.
Okay.
the tree so I could see for a bunch.
Brett, Jesus. Tell us what you think about Orca and what they're going to be doing for us.
All the work to be completed, so obviously bush hammer swimming pool that's removing any our existing plastic guide to finish the product that is currently in place. Removing the ring line tiles, so all your black race lines would be removed as well. So we would essentially start with a clean slate in the pool. Kerf and chip underwater waterline tiles, and that's just below the waterline, so that way the new grout finishing and adhere to the current surface. So it's got to be some chipping that's got to be done. And then the, let's see, the rest of that, rebuild the tile, install new tile, and then grout tile, improve swimming pool grout, acid block.
This, sorry, Brad, this, so rebuild the best, I don't understand, but yeah, install and glaze blue one by one tile. Those are for the racing lines,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, we're going to go away from the thin ones, so we should be going to a wider tile.
Where are we at?
We're just replacing to a different color.
Right. So, but that is the racing lines, mm-hmm. is what they're talking
correct.
About there. Just
below the surface of the line.
Okay. And then grab.
And the lines that go across.
Right. Okay.
Across all six lines.
And grab the tile with approved swimming pool grout. Did they not use approved ones before?
We don't know. Okay. They don't know. Obviously, the tile, some tile looks like there's grout. Some tile looks like that it's been covered over with gunite, the plaster. Some tile looks like there's no grout. So in our current pool, we're not 100% sure. Even Orca has not seen the pool drain as well as myself. Acid wash in TSP pool. So acid wash is just essentially doing a quick wash and then rinsing it all out.
So with the grout tile with approved swimming pool grout, who's approving it?
It just
means it's approved for swimming pools.
Oh, okay.
Versus,
okay.
Kitchens.
Okay.
So after you bush hammer it and get it all, then you have to acid wash it again. Is that correct? That's the process it's sounding like. And then you TSP it to clean all the residue off and then replaster. And this is the question that I think Commissioner Anderson, I said, like replaster pool, I'd be a little bit, I'd like to see details. Like
what and what the product is and what the warranty of the product is.
Well, they checked that they're going to be providing the 5-year warranty. I mean, they put a little signature.
Well, I know, but it's a question to, because it was brought to me about the product itself, of what it is, and to be fair, it was suggested to me that even whoever that representative is of that product, come out and meet and see the pool and kind of get a feel for their product working there. That's just a comment that I had.
Because
this is...
So Orca would come out and have that discussion with us in person and provide details.
Of what the product is that they're, you know, the manufacturer of that.
So wait a second.
I'm sorry, are you saying they're going to put the same product back in?
Yeah, we're going to go back to the same product. We're not going to switch products, finishes.
So it's going to be the same product that Anderson originally
put in? The standard plaster. So, because I was confused.
Is it not manufactured by a company? I mean, is there like
Diamond
numerous
Royal.
Manufacturers?
All over the place.
There's numerous ones. So what manufacturer are they using? That's the question. I mean, that's the question that I, you know, which one?
So spec'd out the, like what plaster?
Right.
Well, I would imagine that they're, you know, so it looks like they're going to subcontract the plastering to Libra Pool. Libra Pool. I don't know if Orca is the one who's going to say you're going to need to use this plaster, or if Libra Pool, who is their subcontractor, chooses the plaster. You choose the plaster.
We have to approve it.
We have to approve it.
And it needs to be in a scope of work, because the problem is, like, for example, what Jerry was talking, like, this other one, I believe Anderson was saying they were going to use an aggregate quartz, which, according to what are the different types of pool, plaster is... Mm-hmm. the oldest, most true tested, but doesn't last as long. When you get aggregate, it adds granite, little pieces of granite, and that's what it said in there, which is a little better. And then you have this ecoplaster system that this other place was doing that is supposed to be a thermal bonded, but like a totally different kind of finish. So yes, you want to know in the scope of work what it is they're actually putting in.
Right, if it's aggregate, plaster, or
and you also have to make sure it says in there that it's super white or whatever it is, because it's required by King County that it be bright white. That's a code requirement now.
Okay, but let's just make this simple for me. Let's talk about bathroom cleaners. So if I hire somebody to clean my bathroom, I'm telling them that their scope of work is to clean my bathroom. Now, if I start getting into micromanaging what type of, and they're saying, okay, we're going to use this kind of cleaner. I mean, you know, what I'm hearing, am I hearing us say we have to approve the type of, the brand of plaster? Or if they're saying we're using plaster, it's approved for swimming pools, it's bright white, then we are saying good to go.
Typically on a scope of work, they will spec out the actual brand that they're going to use. Like, for example, when we did the
flooring,
right. It was this specific flooring because, you know, there's...
Hold on, can I just not to cut you off, but on the scope of work that was submitted to reach out to a contractor, that was created in-house, very specific, right?
Yeah.
And then what was returned, I guess, was my question, was it as detailed as it was returned? From the contractor, or?
Well, there was no detail.
There was no detail.
On this one.
Well, no, I'm not talking about this.
You're talking about the floor?
Just because I'm now listening to Ellen and just having, just listening. Now I'm kind of lost. So are we saying, I need to contact Orca and say, hey, Orca, here's what I need. I need product, I need this, I need color, I need manufacturer, I need print, I need all these pieces all wrapped into the scope of work so detailed. Is that what we're saying? Because if it is, I just need to make sure that I'm clear when I call work on Wednesday.
Well, I guess it goes back to, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to interject, is that like you, the first question you brought up is the contract with King County. We need to get that part going. Mm-hmm. And so this is something, I guess it's a, we may have put the cart, you needed this to be able to send it to King County, if I understand correctly. But it sounds like we need to go further in and make a better scope of work.
So there's two pieces, I mean, for King
right.
County, but we also have to deal with this.
Correct.
Because to be able to approve, to say this is what the actual budget's going to be, we have to choose a...
Well, but they gave, I mean, that's an interesting question. Does King County want the detail or
no.
The fact that they gave us a quote of 100...
This is what King County is.
$140 or however
this
much
is
it is. Okay, so this will work for King County.
So then we can move
great.
On that, but at the same time, we need to move on.
Okay,
this.
Okay. So we move on King County, but I guess my question is, how much micromanaging is the board going to be regarding the contractor's equipment and tools and... Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, because there's Prego, if you want laminate for floor, and then there's off-brand.
Exactly.
And my guess is that,
there's
you know,
no
we...
Yeah. But to your point, but with the products, there's no off-brand. Pool manufacturers, pool manufacturing, and these companies will most likely source their material from the same manufacturer. It just depends who's going to do it, or cheaper, and who your subcontractor is. And it's the same thing with a couple other pools we resurface. This makes sense to me. I get that, right? Not the industry you guys are 150% immersed in, so this makes sense to me, but how can I make it make sense to you guys?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I'm a contractor in construction and stuff. If you don't write it down, then you're going to be disappointed. And I just want to make sure that I'm even talking just two pieces.
So what do you want
the brand of plaster and the color.
Okay.
Brand and color. I don't care just because it makes a difference.
Well, I mean, I think I agree with that. Like, the only thing I would say is like would be, I mean, if there is different types of plaster for longevity, too.
And that's what you'll get from the brand. You can once
mm-hmm,
you know what
right.
brand
and then
is,
you can...
then you'll be able to see whether or not that is an apples to apple or is that the you know.
And for our knowledge, like what we used previously, have we already looked at
the information? We know what we used previously is Diamond Bright, right?
Right, which is, of course, that's
so is the, is the wide range of pricing due to the material that they're talking about? The plaster versus the aggregate versus the eco, plaster. Whatever it is.
Well, the eco stuff's expensive.
So, because it's a huge difference.
Right, but these quotes, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
What I'm saying is you have WMS Aquatics who's going to want to subcontract somebody out. Mm-hmm. He's pitching a different product, which is the eco finish, for example. The eco finish may cost more, but it has less pool closure time. Because of its application process. Is it the best? Who knows? It's still a new product to the market, relatively new, within probably about the last 10 years.
And they're still only warranting it the same amount as everything else.
Right. So who knows if it's a great product, not a fan, but at the end of the day, others may be. Mm. I know my previous organization is actually going to use that product in their family swimming pool. Do I recommend it? No. It's still too relatively new. No one knows how it's chipping, or is it? The application is through heat and blasting. So you blast up the product, and it has a torch on the end that heats it up, kind of essentially melts it and cures it. And that's the product. Super smooth finish. Personally, not what you want in a swimming pool. Because once your feet start slipping and sliding, you have your grip, your grab. Especially when we talk about swim lessons, older folks using the bottom of our pool.
There's a lot of pros and cons
to that product. So it surprises me that a family pool would be using that product. But again, it's closure, shutdown. People probably say, oh, we're only going to be down for X amount of time as opposed to X. The other piece of it is, are they commuting? Is there a subcontractor having to come up from somewhere? What are they building in? WMS had two additional add-ons for additional work. And so it just seems to be super, super exorbitant. Also, is the bid high enough to the point where they don't really want the work that they wanted to bid because they're familiar with this?
Right.
They didn't want to just turn us down. They still wanted to be engaged in the process.
Well, or is the bid like, you know, it's not really worth our time doing it for regular price, but if we put this huge number out here and they take that number, then it's worth it.
They don't know our budget because that was never discussed, and nor should it be discussed. This is the work we'd like done. Please tell us what it would cost.
I'm, you know, as far as material, you know, very simple. Like, I'm not talking like I want to know. I just want to know what kind of material and what color, just because we are required to have white. And just make sure that there was no accidental.
I'm sure they're going to be fine with it. I really do. Yeah. They follow Washington State Code.
Exactly.
So they have to.
Warranty, they initialed the contract here, so they're going with the 5 years per the contract, which I was fine with, even though I do like to see things bulleted out, but because they initialed it, that's fine. One thing I saw was included on others, and it wasn't mentioned here, is the bulkhead removal and... So I don't know whether they are planning to do anything with the bulkhead or whether that falls on us, which is an additional cost. Because the first one that I looked at, I think Anderson specifically said that they're not going to take the bulkhead out. So it's just something we need to be aware of, whether or maybe they were going to deal with it. But so just a question on the bulkhead. Some of the others mentioned drain covers. I'm not sure if that's anything we have to be concerned about.
Drain covers?
Yeah, whether that's, because some of the others mentioned replacing drain covers, is that something we need to think about or not?
And it's getting done, we can ask them to throw it in as a separate
box. I don't know if it needs to be done. It was just, if there's an expectation that it needs to be done, I just don't want change forms down the road.
The discussion was that it will get done. I asked for them to get done.
So I guess it needs to be more detailed. I mean, the one thing I have to say about Anderson's, it was very detailed.
Yes.
It was very, very detailed. Well, where this one is missing some details, even though it's the lowest price.
So it looks like, Anderson, basically, I don't know if they didn't do what Orca did. Orca took our contract and initialed it.
Correct.
Okay. It certainly doesn't look like Anderson did that. It looks like they wrote their own stuff. Looks like there is page 1 through 3 from the contract. Oh no, that's a
just
sorry. So I mean, did they read it?
Well, I mean, Anderson did what our quote form said. Attach a separate sheet if necessary. So this is their separate sheet.
Yeah.
They just did a more detailed version of the scope of work. Which that Jerry, that was my comments too. Is I appreciated the detail, although you know it's not.
The word not.
Like for example, one thing, and I know I think I've talked to Brad about this before. You know, detailing whether cleanup's included, what our expectation is as far as cleanup goes.
Well, like demolition and removal. Is it that because they Anderson was really clear about how they called it out as demolition and removal.
Yeah. So,
and this just says, I mean, it's just the detail.
So if all there's an expectation that our staff are going to go in and clean it all up, right. You know, all the dust and stuff afterwards, or is there an expectation that they're going to do the cleanup? Cleanup is included or not? Because that impacts as to when we're able to even open. There was an issue I had with Orca when it said it was on the quote form at the bottom, and I think it was just they didn't understand what it meant, but it says that the undersigned agrees that to complete all work under the base quote within 5 days after the notice to proceed. I can't imagine they can do that in 5 days. So
I think the young guy, the new construction guy,
the owner.
So, like, for example, I believe, once again, Anderson did the best job at saying they did work completed by 31 days after notice were received, and they've got 3 plus 28 per 1.3. So, yes, they did read the contract. but, I mean, that
No, I was asking if Orca read the contract.
Oh.
Or I'm pretty sure that Anderson read the contract.
So that needs, that I would suggest, unless they plan to be able to accomplish it. I can't think they can do a very good job in 5 days. Nothing can be cured.
So I guess that it sounds like Anderson has, you know, in their project description scope of work, they talk about the bodies of water, they talk about demolition, finishes, yada, yada, yada. Maybe those questions can then, these same kind of questions can be asked of Orca. Because it would be horrible if we have an expectation that they're going to do cleanup and then they're like, no. And then we have to kind of try and figure that out.
I mean, I would even say take what Anderson is and submit it to them in the form of what they did and said, is this scope of work acceptable to you? We've expanded what you said here.
Just to see, is this all covered? Is this
what do
all
you think, Brad?
With, you know.
You tell me to say. No,
well, I'm just
cut and paste out this.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's part of it. And then we call, you know, City of Seattle Pullman Pool, Edmonds, Tacoma, and say, hey, how are they to work with? Did they clean up? Did they?
Well, I think the big key is for him, for you to see the Pullman Pool. But we don't know. The thing is, it doesn't show here. Even though it says Pullman Pool, that doesn't mean that they did the pool liner. Because it just says list major contracts completed by your company, including, it doesn't say, you know, whether pool liners. Because City of Edmonds, I don't think that's a pool. And Tacoma School District, I don't think that's a pool.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's a good point.
Well, except for they provide service installation, chemicals, and construction in the aquatic industry.
But work performed by your company up above. But that's what they do. They provide services.
Tacoma School District has pools.
But list major contracts completed by your company, including contracting agencies, well, type of work. But it doesn't say, nowhere does it say what type of, none of these say what the type of work is.
It doesn't say exactly what kind of work was.
So.
Which is also, you know, that's a red flag. I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just, no, I mean, you were saying that, you know, I mean, Vanessa noted the 5 days, and, you know, the person who filled this out is the president. So if he's a young guy and he's, you know, which is fine, you know, we just need to make sure that, you know, we don't have expectations that they haven't thought of.
Exactly, that they're covering.
And, you know, and all of a sudden they're like, well, wait a second, that wasn't, you know, we can't pay for that.
Because if I'm reading this correctly, the base quote's $170,000, and then we would have $17,000 in sales tax. So it would be $187,000. So that would bring us into $47,000 over what the grant is. I told you I'm getting close to that 55, and then I just...
Come on, you need a buffer.
Well, the buffer's $8,000.
Right, yes.
And depending on whether or not we have to move the bulkhead out of the way, and I'm just...
Or if we have to take...
That's according to the last, the previous work that I've read, that was all they budgeted for those pieces. But so what do you need? You want brand new color, right? A product.
Yeah.
Color.
Got it. Details
like what, how Anderson has, like the drain covers, the bulkhead, removal, just, you know, just as in cover the removal of the product, you know, disposal. It kind of, I mean, if you look at what Anderson, copy and paste.
I would do that.
That's what I would do. I would agree with you on that. Where they list it right here, items included in the scope of work from A, down to D. I don't think we have to do the finishes because they're actually listing the, well, unless we want to, they gave a name of a tile, but we don't need to put that in there. But
well,
the
quit.
Basic, yeah.
So I'm curious, Aaron, you've been kind of quiet,
yes.
And you actually, you know, kind of deal with this, not in pools, but with your customers. What are you thinking?
Well, I agree. I think that, I mean, $170,000 is just a price, and it's just kind of saying like the basic stuff. We're going to refinish your pool for this price, and like, yeah, I kind of want to know like what is that $170,000? What is included in that? Because, you know, that's very well like why one of them's $240,000 from them.
So
I think it can add up really, really quick.
So what Jerry and Vanessa are suggesting, you would agree with that, to,
absolutely,
you know, kind of use the Anderson thing as a, yeah, as a template. I'm looking at page one under exhibit H, I believe.
On which company?
I have no idea.
Under Orca. It's Orca.
It's Orca.
It's the diagram.
It's Orca. Okay, under exhibit H, scope of work, Orca. This is obviously from us.
Yes.
Okay, and then it's lovely. It talks about this background, and that it was completed in April of 2013, and the product was selected based on the following. And so I guess I just want to revisit, and I know that you were saying, Brad, and point very well taken about maintenance of the pool, but... I mean, we are now replacing, we're going to be replacing this liner that was done in April of 2013. So probably 6 years or 7 years.
Yeah, it's because it was more like January, February when the product was put on. So it's going to be closer to 7.
Okay.
Not that that's good.
No, because the product should last for 15 to 25 years. And Anderson is the one that we're, you know, like using as a template. And I am just curious, and I mean, I know you don't have any answers, and I guess just keep your ears open. I mean, what did we do wrong? Because obviously, it didn't last. It didn't even last 10 years.
Well, and that's, so this is where there's a big unknown, and unfortunately Michelle's not here to share more, give us more detail, or if she has a picture of it or anything else. I mean, this goes to Orca's point as well, and my point. Orca and I don't understand it. We don't get it. They walked through the facility with me. They even put his arm as far down as he could to touch it. We're all confused when we're replastering the pool. Mine isn't staining. Let's just take the staining out of the picture. That can happen at any point in time. If they put that water back in the pool while the product is fresh, who knows? Maybe there is rebar or old piping under there that's leaching through the cement and then now the new plaster. So we got to remove the staining from the equation for a second. The plaster as a whole, I have not seen a pool drain. Orca has not seen a pool drain. We're both perplexed. We're confused. Why are we plastering? If anything, maybe it's general maintenance where we go in and we grout all the tiles and we do an inspection and we do a light acid wash, so on and so forth. So there's a lot of unknowns until we actually drain the pool. Okay. Now, the biggest piece here is, and Orca said it just as well when we were walking downstairs, is when we drain it, we don't have to do the work. What do we do then?
And we don't have to do the work?
We don't, right? Let's say they go to a visual inspect and they don't see what WMS apparently pointed out.
I mean, there's work to be done. The fact is that there's not grout and tile. That's totally unexplained why there wouldn't be grout and tile when there was initially. And I got pictures where there was a grout when it was finished. I looked at some of the construction pictures during 2012, 2013. So it did exist. There was some kind of defect there at least, which doesn't bode well for the quality of work done.
From Anderson.
Yeah.
But then you have to look at who managed the work. You have to look at, was Anderson even here? Did they even have a guy on the ground managing the subcontractor? But who we hired, or not we, I mean, to be really clear, who the city hired to manage the work, I looked all that documentation up as well, is...
Well,
it wasn't Dave Perkins, it was Robert.
McKinstry overseeing an aquatic project and signing off on documents that are water based.
There was a city
infrastructure and systems based. So when you've got folks, I mean, there's just when you look at it from an outside lens, in my opinion, I just think it was a poorly managed, poorly executed project from the very beginning.
So I'm sorry. So I'm curious, so one thing that you just said is that, okay, so it doesn't appear, maybe it is, maybe I just didn't see it in the Orca contract. How do we know how the subcontractor is going to be managed? Or is that something that you would want to ask them and say, because they've got these, you know, plasters coming in. Do they have a, you know, project manager on site for these kind of things, or do they just leave it up to their subcontractor? And is that okay with us?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, obviously, I think at the end of the day, I would hope that they're going to be managing their guy, or the subcontractor's going to be managing whoever we're bringing into the building. All need to be communicating with our contractor and inspecting our work on a regular basis. I think the biggest piece is there has to be daily walkthroughs and consistent dialogue to make sure that we're fixing any type of defect or addressing problems before they start the plastering process. Once the plastering process goes on and it starts to cure, that's it.
It's too late to do it.
So Ellen, one thing that, sorry, I'm going to our actual contract,
yeah.
And it addresses a little bit of I do remember there was something about subcontractor responsibility. It says, the contractor shall include the language of this section in each of the first tier of subcontracts. They shall verify that they meet the bidder responsibility criteria, which you've already done. They've already meet that criteria. That they, you know, they can't have had any.
You already checked the subcontractor too?
Yeah.
Checklist?
Yeah, Libra's done here on the second last page.
Oh, okay.
So as far as like, do they have lawsuits against them? Are they
bad
people, like, or bad contractors? Did that part of it? They haven't had any claims filed in the last 3 years or something?
Correct.
I'm just remembering things. So there is a little bit, but it doesn't go into like the project management so much of it.
Right, which I wouldn't imagine a contractor really could do that minutia.
Yes, but it does say that they can't just, you know, hire anyone that they...
Go over to Home Depot and...
Yeah, well, probably not. But that they, you know, have industrial insurance coverage for the subcontractor's employees.
Well, Brad certainly has had experience with this, so I'm sure that.
And to answer your question, how do we know we're going to do it right? right. I mean, the info is provided once the project's complete. So when the project's complete, just as it was in 2013, they were handed a packet. They were handed a warranty. They were handed instructions, care instructions. And these documents all exist. I put my eyes on them downstairs. So they were handed all these documents. And it's the same documents I'm used to getting after a pool closure. This is the chemical range that we recommend when maintaining the plaster. This is what you need to do for acid. Here is your warranty and what we cover. And if we knew about that warranty.
Yeah, we missed it actually.
About a year and a half, within a year, we would have been able to potentially solicit Anderson to come drain the pool or an exclosure and to walk it and make sure that it's not their work that's defective. And if it was, then we'd be responsible for fixing it. We just need to make sure that when we drain the pool, whenever we select as our contractor, they need to be invited to walk pool closure with us, especially when it's their work, because that's how we utilize the warranty on a timely manner. It's simple project management. It really is what it comes down to. So I know I say that, but I didn't have the city that figured we would have that.
Obviously,
really
we missed that.
The pools that I've done are still operating today. I have pictures of them I've got folks that still work there and that can tell me today. As long as the work is done well and it has enough time to cure and it's properly maintained, you don't have a 15 to 20 year shelf life.
Brett, sir, it's interesting because I've done, just typical non-professional Google searching because I can't help myself.
Yeah.
And, I kept coming over and over again saying commercial pools should budget for every 10 years to have a replaster. So then it got me a little, nervous because, and then I'm thinking, well, maybe the 7 years we're getting is not
bad.
Horrible as what we thought. Is that not, like 10 years, does that seem too
I think it's aggressive for our
We don't get a lot of use.
Size.
Our application.
We're looking at, let's say,
wild waves.
Corn, for example. Three bodies of wire, slide.
A lot of chemicals.
And basic, too. A lot of chemicals. Yeah. Who knows what the previous surface is. But you're typically resurfacing. You're not going to resurface every single body of wire. You would rotate your resurfacing projects. But also, depending on how that facility is managed in terms of the chemical quality, the chemical piece is the biggest indicator of if that plaster is going to last or not. If someone
the chemical size,
we
know
it's in trouble. If they're acid and they've got no calcium in there to maintain, the surface of the pool is looking for whatever it needs to continue to thrive and to survive. And most people think calcium is just calcium, but we don't want too much calcium. We don't want too little because then it starts to corrode and eat up your pipes, but it can start deteriorating your surface, including that muriatic acid. And then when it comes to pool closure and washing those surfaces, it should never be an aggressive acid wash. If you're doing an aggressive acid wash, you're telling me that there's rust leaching from things and you've got all these major issues. That's for an old pool, but it's not even an acid wash that you should be doing most days. It's spot clean. If I have a small piece of, if I have body pins,
sunk
to the bottom and sat there for 3 weeks and put rust on the bottom of your surface, when we drain the pool, all you're doing is going down and you're going to spot clean those areas with a simple solution. So 10 years on major facilities, on big facilities, is acceptable. But when it comes to, we're talking one aquatic center, six lanes, 25 plus yards long, not counting the shower. But no, I would say 15, 20.
Because, I know the city, during this whole thing, had originally budgeted, I'm guessing that 55,000 in kind of this time for a little bit, this time frame, and then in 2027, 130,000. So I'm kind of looking at they were expecting to do a light touch up and then maybe a larger project down the road in 2025 years. Does that seem?
The goal was, so with this project, we're hoping just to get the surface done. So racing lines, pool surface, fill it back up, go back to normal operation. I would then say, hey, finance committee, let's start talking about the next phase of our pool, and that would be tiling. The entire perimeter, the current tiling that goes into the wall of the pool and the surface, and you're looking at another 100,000. 5,000.
I thought that's part of the, no?
The race tile, the racing lines, the on the bottom of the pool, that's the gate tiled.
Oh. Yeah. Tiled on the
Thank
surface,
you.
That would be the next project.
So those little blue 1x1 squares, we're not doing anything with those?
Down those are on the bottom. So when you're swimming,
I'm talking about the side.
Yeah, we're not touching.
No, we're not doing
those.
Okay.
Right. Well, well, Anderson had, or one of them had like another $57,000.
So if you're looking at just the water layer, well, just above it, there's tile.
Yeah.
And the tile comes out about a foot from the edge of the pool.
Right.
Well.
Don't care about the edge of the
pool.
That
tile would be an additional project.
Okay.
And that's where you say, okay, the next pool footer, drain the pool. Do a simple clean, check our grout lines, regrout if necessary, check drains, yada, 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 make sure drain covers are good, make sure there's no popping, chipping, cracking, so on and so forth. And at that point, we have one of our contractors walking through us to check their work as well, and then to identify. And then from there, that would start the next major work that we budget for, and we say, okay, now we're going to do tile work and gutter work.
I mean, I feel very grateful we have a grant because we didn't. I mean, between the 130 and 150, I mean, technically we had $180,000 to spend. So, you know, it might have been able to squeak through. But I'm very pleased that we're able to not have to take it completely out of our CIP.
And I'm curious to know if there's wiggle room with King County and the grant that was awarded. I really am curious to know if Butch says, you know, hey, your project's won 70 and we only gave you 140, maybe there is an additional 15 to 20,000 available. But that's for Grant or Butch and his team to potentially make that determination. I don't
Absolutely.
Know. But it's all worth question. This
because we also, to be fair, we're Austin and Michelle and we're, you know, where you guys got information too was based on not that old, you know, bids or estimates from forward thrust pools who were looking at liners, and this was a lot higher, I mean substantially higher than any of those.
Right.
So it's
right,
so
140 was up with a big number already added to it.
Well, these were all it? And plus the bids that you were the estimates looking at were like a big project where it's got a McKinstry that also tacks on another 15 to 20 mm-hmm. for, you know, overhead and profit. So
I think the unfortunate side, again, I'm a pretty positive guy. I'm going to continue to think that way. So hopefully we only spend all the way up to less than that 55 buffer. But I think where we need to learn from this process is the next grant we submit, we need to do our homework. Right. And unfortunately, I started in April. I can't sit there through our archives because the grant is due. Note to self that we need to sit down and we need to look at any past work that may have been completed, like work, if we're going to do like work again.
Yeah.
And we pull that and then we have an open, honest discussion with our contractors. All these guys are more than willing to give hard numbers without a hard quote. I mean, they were even more than willing to send over previous scopes of work that they did in the previous pool a year ago, 2 years ago, to share their issues, their concerns, their overages, their change orders. I mean, these are all things that we have access to. So when we do solicit money for the 44 mil from King County over the next 5 years, we need to do our homework.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to sit down and fill out a full proposal before we say, we want 200,000, and really we want 400,000.
Especially if it's a project that is, you know, which could well be something that is a want or something that we haven't budgeted for, so we really don't have money to pull into if we don't do our homework. And I mean, everyone, it was, and you know, the economy's different too. Contractors are really in demand. It's hard to get people to do work so they can
call the shots.
So where are we now? It sounds like Brad's got some stuff to go back to ORCA with.
Well, okay,
but
so
he can submit this to King County to say, to Butch to say, this is what we have right now. I'm researching or going further with the scope of work.
Actually, we'll leave with Butch what work is submitted, if we're okay, submitting the lowest bid to Butch.
Okay.
Well, so
that's,
I'll submit this bid to Butch as is.
Do we have to do a motion for that?
Yeah, so there's that piece. If, you know, we can do a motion to submit the bid for
the lowest
ORCA,
bid.
And then we can have, you know, I don't know
Well, Brad can then, Brad's, you know, there's notes and minutes and can go back and get some clarifications of that.
Because
he feels clear in these answers, you know, we have the Anderson template and,
before we do an actual awarding of the contract.
Correct.
So, yes. Because what is, I didn't see a time, of course, there's no timeline.
5 days.
Because, yeah, because that piece, you got that piece of.
You didn't put in here a time. Did you put a date?
There's, but.
It wasn't, yeah.
I understand. Didn't you already approve Brad going forward with the King County grant?
But not, but see, he needed to, we, but for him to be able to give a scope of work, we have to approve which scope of work, which, because there's three different scopes of work here, so we have to say, okay, this, we're okay with the ORCA scope of work for him to put on.
Well,
the
okay, but you're, I hear
for
what
this,
you're
sorry,
saying,
I need
but
the budget, sorry,
thank
I need
you.
Budget, I need,
because I'm saying this is
work.
Not his scope
so
of work.
So
okay.
we're okay with him submitting ORCA's budget.
To King County.
To King County. County.
Because
but we haven't yet awarded the contract
to ORCA
because we need some clarification, like, you know, following the template. And, you know, I mean, we also want to make sure that, you know, like demolition and stuff like that, we don't want to say yes to this and then there be expectations and just huge disappointment.
So, okay, so we would make a motion to submit the budget number from ORCA to King County.
To use ORCA's budget to submit.
Just to submit to King County. And then we have to have Brad come back too. So it sounds like we would make, then we can get the answers back from ORCA for the scope of work once you send them that, and it's going to be a whole nother. So we have something more realistic to.
We will discuss the response of finance committee.
Yeah, I don't
but
know.
The better is, if the longer we drag this out, which is
No, no, no. I mean, we can go ahead and make the motion to submit the budget, the ORCA bid.
For King County.
For King County.
So
that
King
we can
County's
move.
Wrapped up.
Okay.
So why don't we just do that? Why don't we just go ahead and make a motion to do that so Brad can be clear on that part?
And
does
Brad,
that make
did you
sense?
Say you're taking a vacation?
No, Butch.
No, Butch is.
Oh, Butch. Okay.
So
for us to get anything we want in, we need to get it done, have discussions.
I will put tomorrow in the motion.
It's going to be out for action.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so,
let's get it.
So Commissioner Zappel makes a motion to utilize ORCA's quote for the purposes of the King County grant. To satisfy the purposes of the King County grant.
Commissioner Gengler seconds.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion pass. Okay, that part was easy.
This is all new to me, government, so
yeah.
So you're going to give this to Butch, and then he's going to be gone for a month? So is he going to give it to his team?
He takes off in September, and he does not get back until almost the end of October, I think October 21st.
And
so we're going to submit the kids. So you're going to submit this to Butch, mm-hmm. and then he's going to get back to you before he leaves on vacation?
That's the
goal. We've already authorized you to sign and execute the grant.
The grant,
right.
And that's all gone through legal, right?
Mm-hmm. No, yes. I thought it did.
Has it gone? The King County grant, has it gone to?
Yeah, I thought you guys approved.
Yeah, the King County grant, I believe, has gone to legal.
2 weeks ago, so I'm really confused as what this
We approved it going forward with it. But then there was a little bit of snafu with it that they couldn't proceed with it unless they had this
scope
this information.
Of work.
So we needed to say, yes, this is, the, we want to either, or no, we don't want to use ORCA, we want to use the scope of work from Anderson.
I wasn't.
We're satisfied with the exhibit.
Okay, so we're good.
We're good on
yeah.
that, yeah.
So Brad's going to go ahead and send the ORCA, which is going to get back to us before the September 1st.
King County.
Right. That's Butch.
Yeah, oh, sorry, yes.
But
and
in the meantime, we need to get the
do
details.
Do we need to do a separate, like, when do you think ORCA, I mean, we can't actually execute the contract with ORCA until King County is signed. And then
right.
we can execute or authorize going forward with ORCA.
So here's what we'll have, the time frame. Sounds like that's what everyone wants.
Yeah.
So, time frame. Here's the deal. This week, tomorrow I won't be in the office, unfortunately, and I'm going to steal the day since I'm giving up Saturday and have a perfect opportunity to get some car work done. So, we'll be in the office tomorrow. Wednesday, I will have a phone call into work, actually call work tomorrow. But I will have a conversation with ORCA, their contract guy and their construction guy. We will work out the details. We will get clarity to the questions we have here, as well as go through the outline that Anderson Pool Works has submitted. I will satisfy that. Then I believe from there, is this something we want to discuss before Finance Committee, if it's all available, so that means
hold
done,
on.
Or
Back up,
because you're going
to. So you're talking to ORCA, but we need you to talk to King County.
Yeah,
first
you're going to send to King County.
Right, that's all getting done.
Okay, that's thank you, because I was going the same
yeah,
way. Okay.
I was trying to get the ORCA piece, because that's what was the confusion for my grant. So King County will be done tomorrow.
Okay.
That I'm not concerned about. So sign the contract and send all that. Send for lunch.
Do we need to have a special meeting
once
he...
We can have a special meeting.
I think it's not just finance.
Well, I don't know. So is this, according to our policies, is this a contract we have to approve
as a
board? Okay, well, then we have a special meeting.
Okay, it's a special meeting. So
once you get...
Once you get all the details from...
And are you're clear as to what our expectations are? So
no.
You...
But I have a template.
Okay.
I'm just joking.
I can be this is, staff a little bit longer.
This has been taped in two methods, so you can listen to both.
Correct.
And stereo.
No, I mean, it's definitely clear. I just want to make sure that we're meeting the clarity that you need so we can move forward.
So, yes. So special meeting awarding contract. If, you know, and I would suggest... If we could get this done beforehand, once you get that all together, submit it to Brian for legal review so we don't have to make a contingent on legal review.
Okay.
And also do the reference checks ahead of time.
Exactly.
So we don't have to do it contingent. So if we can get that all together so it's all ready to go.
Make it a quick, short meeting.
Yes.
Just like Jerry likes it.
Because if it's before the end of August, Jerry's going to be running it again.
And that was discussed that we may end up having a special meeting.
Okay. All right.
Oh,
that's
is she going until August?
Well, she's not back for a while.
She's not back till like the first part of September.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Claire?
So what's going back to the legal review?
When he gets it back from his scope of work from ORCA, it'll be the
so
actual...
scope of work too?
No, it'll actually be the contract. So this will be updated. They'll update this. And we'll submit this to Brian.
So
what we got here, if I'm clear, right? I'm clear on that. And then this will get updated from ORCA. And then when this is updated, then we'll go to Brian for legal review.
So the ORCA thing. Yeah, so it would be the entire contract with ORCA's little signature on it, including Exhibit B that's filled out, a new exhibit, or Exhibit C with an additional pages, quote form. So this whole packet, just to make sure that we didn't miss anything.
Correct.
And that way, Brian says, yep, good to sign.
Because the 170 truly is all encompassing, and it's a phenomenal deal.
It sounds like it.
Well, it seemed kind of high when I looked at everything else, but, you know, comparatively.
So that's all.
So that's, yeah, so it would be everything here.
Find a place
with an updated scope of work.
I should find a Boy Scout that wants to do this as his Eagle Scout project.
That sounds good. Okay.
Very good company. The other is not, so that
and I mean, done work with our mm-hmm. vendor of ours currently. So
mm-hmm.
we're
okay. So you're clear. Got it.
Christine, are you kind of clear? Okay,
she's got it. Okay, so we're
like, Christine, I've got to say this. You know, I really appreciate how difficult this whole process
mm-hmm.
is, and to have to learn so quickly and be thrown, both of you, to be thrown mm-hmm. into this, I do appreciate it, because, you know, and you're dealing with a bunch of people here who've got, you know, less of an idea than you guys do.
And we're directing. God, that's funny.
No, you did.
I thought we were signing this contract tonight.
No.
We're not ready.
I wasn't told that there would be more legal. I just...
It's okay, that's what we're all learning.
And I was ready, so Christine, I had a motion drafted to be subject to legal review, so I was, you know, but it was, we need a few more details.
We just need a little more information before we can sign anything.
The King County part was done 2 meetings ago.
Well, but it just needed to get this, they need this last piece to do that with King County. We approved it.
I just want to know when it was communicated about.
about that last piece because I wasn't included in that conversation.
No, the last piece, I brought it up tonight. Or as far as the, which piece are you talking about?
The King County and needing to have.
The King County, that there was something missing.
That it hadn't been submitted?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Did we talk about
it? I thought it was talked about at two meetings ago, yeah.
Either 2 meetings ago or finance.
Okay.
Well, it was discussed. It was, because I remember that conversation too, but you needed this piece in order to get it
submitted.
Yeah.
Through exhibits.
Right.
That they want. I think this covers all
that. And this was the one piece that we were missing. It was a lot of conversation, Christine, I'm sure. It just got.
And there was no actionable item.
No.
I know, but I thought the scope of work was this Exhibit H, which we came up with.
So that's not the contractor's scope of work. That he submits on
ours,
quote.
But I thought this is what Brad was submitting as a scope of work for the
County. They wanted more detail and more hard numbers.
When they came back, it just didn't come to me at all.
Okay, so are we done with this item?
Yeah.
Okay, you're done.
Ooh, this takes us to item 8, miscellaneous at 8:15. Anybody?
Want to talk about alarms there?
Talk about what?
Alarms?
Yeah, the wireless thing with Jabber.
Yeah, you just need to call them and get a new wireless
sensor.
Yeah, so the door switches you can tell them this. The door switches have been completely replaced. Because there's a wired, so there's a door switch. Everyone doesn't need to, that's got a wire that goes to a wireless sensor. And that communicates wirelessly to the panel. So it's just the wireless transmitter is what you need to replace. You've got it in test currently, right?
Yeah, we put it back in test today.
So you just need, you can say someone's already replaced, to say board member.
Awesome. So wireless transmitter is what we're replacing.
I mean, that's the only piece that's not working. That's left. All the, you don't need to pay for them to redo the switch.
Is this Pruva that's coming out?
No, that's Alarm Center, I think, who does your work. Frula doesn't do any of the, other than the confidence testing. And
I just want to make sure I'm reaching out to the right folks before I have them missing with our security system.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. It's very, it's like, I'm going to be honest, $25 part, that they'll charge you $200.
Is there any other miscellaneous? Certainly. Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Oh, what time is it, Jerry?
It's 8:17. There is a glare. It's 8:17. You have to get look. I know, I thought it was 2.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Okay. Commissioner Zappel makes a motion to adjourn.
Commissioner Gengler seconds the motion.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Meeting adjourned at 8:17.
Good meeting.
Thank you,
thank
everyone.
You.
Sorry. I didn't think I'd have to do a special meeting, too.
To Christine.
But I told Christine, I'm like, I'm really good at them because we had a few.
We had a few with you. It's Jerry's got you get back for one meeting and there you are with special meetings.
I love to.
You have this?
Oh.
I love them. I had to order more since I'm going to be another 6 years.
You're going to what?
I had to order more because I'm going to be another 6 more years.
6 more years.
Because I use these every month.
Oh, that's brilliant.
I know, right?
Yeah, I know.
Because then I keep it, I know right where that this is August.
Oh, August. That's brilliant.
So yeah, I had to order more.
I guess where did what you I found from my other
current.
Binder.
Okay.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay. I love them.
What I requested everyone to.
There you are. How can we get up here in the meeting?
Thank you, Christine.
Oh, I love them. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Hello.